Isn't he awesome? Yeah, right? It's crazy to think how powerful God can move even in a group as small as this. Because like even after like just hearing the conversations, it's like I'm hearing like Francisco's hearing some confirmation. I'm hearing things like that God's speaking to somebody else. It's like I don't want us to miss that. I don't want us to just look over that and be like, this is, it's like kind of like, it is, it, I don't know, it's sort of, it should be business as usual, right? But we need to acknowledge that, man, when God speaks and God moves, take that word, whatever you heard this morning, write it down, do something with it, meditate on it throughout the week. If God even just, if you heard just, you got a little whisper of something or a glimpse of something during worship, write it down, remember it, meditate on it, let it stew, just let it permeate whatever you're reading, you're studying, you're teaching, and pray about it. Pray about it, because God's doing something amazing and awesome in you, in your life, in this body, and that affects every single one of us. Amen. All right. So we're in the middle of our series that we usually do in Thanksgiving time. It's called Dynamic Gratitude. And I'm sort of rehashing a sermon that I did a couple of years ago. Now, I'm going to be in 2 Kings in chapter 5, if you guys want to turn there. I'm not really going to read from it, but I'm going to take some stuff from it. If you guys want to turn there, you can. But we're in the message, we're in the series called Dynamic Gratitude. And last week, Les gave a working definition of what we mean by that. Now, when we approach Thanksgiving, it's always a good time when we sit around the table, like most of us are going to do on Thursday, and we partake of a meal together. There's always a point in time where somebody wants to go around and just express things that you're thankful for, right? You take a look at your life, you take a look at things that have happened throughout the year, and these are all tangible things that we can see. And this is a time where we can express how thankful we are for them, so people can hear and kind of know like what's going on with us. But dynamic gratitude, when it comes to the kingdom way of giving thanks, is a tangible expression of thanksgiving that flows from our confident belief that God is good. One more time. A tangible expression of thanksgiving that flows from our confident belief that God is good. So if you look back on your year, this past year, and it's hard for you to find things that you might be thankful for, you can still express dynamic gratitude knowing that God is still good, that knowing that God is still on his throne. And last week, let's sort of explain how we can do that. And we go through these three levels of dynamic gratitude. And I'm not going to detail them all. You guys can go back and listen on Facebook or on the podcast or whatever. But it says, in short, it's almost the first level is a very basic foundational level of gratitude where we thank God for things that we have and that he's given us. These things that we can actually see and taste and experience in our life. And that's important. And it's something that we all need to learn because it's kind of a hard practice to really get into. But it's a very basic foundational level of gratitude. Then we can work into the next level, which is thanking God for things that we don't even have yet. Thanking God for things that we know he wants for us, but that we haven't even, that we don't have physically yet. Are y'all with me? It's knowing I need this. I've had it before. I've experienced it before. And I'm going to thank God in advance. And I'm going to thank God with expectancy that I'm going to receive it because he's promised it to me. Is that right? Everybody make sense so far? Okay. And then the third level is sort of thanking God for things that we have never had or experienced. But we know that it's his will for us to have them. And I'm going to sort of explain that because I'm going to share next week also and how that beautifully translates into us coming to the table of Thanksgiving. But there's something that really gets in the way of that first level, because I want to back it up. There's an obstacle that gets in the way for a lot of us. Now, back in 2017, they did a Gallup poll, over 160,000 Americans from all across the country. And it was the first time on record that there was no single state in America that saw an improvement in people's levels of overall well-being. So they asked a bunch of questions to sort of gauge people's physical well-being, their mental well-being, their emotional well-being. And it was the first time that they had never seen an increase. Even though people's confidence in the economy was growing, even though people are making more money, even though life seems to be getting better, that violence is going down, everything on the surface seems to be getting better. But for the first time, people's happiness and well-being was not improving. And in fact, in 21 states, the well-being dropped significantly. That mirrored and sort of reflected back in they called it the recession back in 2009. And that depression levels are the highest we have ever measured. And in 2017, nearly 1 in 5 Americans have said that they've been diagnosed professionally at some point to be depressed. Now, why is it that on the surface it can seem that life is going great? All right, we're making a little bit more money. Things seem to be a little bit more secure. But at the same time, Americans and us as a society are not happier. Let me move on. And the number of people who said they had recently found little interest or pleasure. Check this out. The number of people who said they recently found little interest or pleasure in doing things, anything, in just doing tasks, completing things in their life, increased 7 percentage points. So that means 17 million more people are saying they just find no fulfillment, no satisfaction in getting up and doing anything for the day. Boy, that's pretty depressing, right? Now, one of the hardest things we can do as Christians, as adults, is move into a mentality where we are expressing and living out dynamic gratitude. Because there's one obstacle that gets in the way of a lot of us. And I talked about this a couple years ago, and it's called entitlement. It's something called entitlement. Now, a lot of us have heard this word, and it's thrown out in the government because we use this term to define like welfare benefits for people. But entitlement is much deeper than just a lack of gratitude for what you have, okay? A spirit, and I don't know if it's a spirit, I'm just going to call it a spirit, okay? The spirit of entitlement, what it says is that I don't have what I think I deserve. And I believe America and a lot of society is walking around thinking that I don't have in my possession what I think I've worked for, what I think I deserve, what I think that's owed to me. And as Christians, we have to be careful because it's very easy for us to slip into a mentality of entitlement, especially when it comes to church, because we can walk through those doors and feel like I have been here. I've been in ministry for years. I know what a good church looks like. I am entitled to things when I walk through the doors of a church, right? Or in your family, right? You walk around, you may walk into Thanksgiving, and there might be some people there that feel like, you know what, I've put in a lot of work in this family. I've done certain things, and I'm entitled to a certain level of respect, right? It gets a little weird, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's just those unsaid tensions in the family, right? My mom and dad are here, and we don't experience that at all, okay? I'm just throwing stuff out there, right? It's basically what you're saying is you're looking at people, and this could be your parents, this could be your spouse, this could be your bosses, your friends, your loved ones, and you're saying, these people are holding out on me. They have something, and they don't want to give it to me, and I know that I am entitled to that. And it is very hard to express dynamic gratitude and show how thankful for you are for what you do have when you walk around thinking that you don't have what you think you should have. Does that make sense? So we can either focus on the people and say, I am entitled to something and you're holding out on me. And we take it to the next level when we don't experience breakthrough, when we don't experience healing, when we don't experience God's supernatural work in our life, and we start blaming God. And we look at God and say, you know what, God, you're holding out on me. I've read all the stories. I've heard all the testimonies of how you've moved in people's lives, of how you've taken a group of 5 people and they started a church and they just exploded into this huge mega church, or these people over here, they experienced such a breakthrough in their lives. Where's mine, right? And we start looking at God and say, God, you're holding out on me to what I'm entitled to. Now, I am going to get to what we are entitled to as his children. But a lot of times we will falsely label the things that we can't see that we're experiencing or that we have right now, and we'll blame God and say, you're holding out on me. All right. Now, all of this, all of that description, that you could be sitting there and saying, that doesn't really apply to me. Right? I don't walk around thinking that I'm entitled to anything. I've got that pretty much in check. Okay, so I did this last time, and we're going to take a little quiz. Just a short little quiz, okay? And I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to give you it's a multiple choice quiz. You guys remember in school, multiple choice? The easiest way to get the right answer is, the process of elimination, okay? So eliminate the answer that you don't think is right and stick with that one. This isn't going to be hard. So quiz number one, here we go. Question number one. When a coworker or a sibling or a fellow student, somebody, your colleague, somebody you work with, gets special acknowledgement for their work, how do you typically feel? Do you A, feel happy for them? B, you wonder if you'll ever get acknowledged for your hard work? Or C, you feel a tiny bit of contempt for your colleagues by asking stuff like, are they really that great, or did they really deserve that? You don't have to say keep that to yourself. You're either happy for them, you wonder if you get acknowledged for your hard work, or maybe you have a tiny bit of contempt for your colleague. Okay? Question number two. Let's say you're in a hurry somewhere and you're in the car and other drivers or pedestrians are blocking your way because they're moving too slowly. What is your typical reaction? Do you A, you try your best to ignore it and move on? Just happily laughing just like Angela is right now. It's like, oh, that's hilarious. B, you have a bit of disdain for the meanderers and bad drivers out there. Or C, do you have tension and flashes of anger because you got to get to where you got to get to? No. Okay. And here's the last question. This isn't hard. When you think about your financial status and situation or how much money you make, what are you most likely to feel? A, do you feel gratitude that all your needs are met while you're hoping to save for the future? B, do you feel shame that others will think less of you and not see your true potential because it doesn't accurately represent who you are? Or C, do you have resentment that you can't get out of your situation and it's not your fault that you're stuck? Oh, everybody got quiet for that one, huh? Talking about money. So if you noticed, A, this is a hard point system, you know, it ranges from A to C, right? Where we could see, sometimes there's little situations in our life that are little signs, or they're almost little, that gives us a glimpse of us easily slipping into a mentality or operating in a spirit of entitlement versus operating in the spirit of dynamic gratitude for what we have. And it's so easy. It's so easy to see if we are, because people who live with an inflated sense of entitlement are more prone to anger, and little things will get under their skin because they're not getting their way. We're more often to go through life disappointed because things aren't going their way, or have a harder time finding fulfilling relationships. And when Gallup polled 160,000 people, the number one thing they said that was a cause for a lot of people's depression were unfulfilling relationships. That people were going around not being satisfied with the connections we're making with people. And I don't know if it has to do with social media and the fact that we're like on a screen 24/7 and we're lacking sort of that conversation that we used to have with people. I don't know if it's that. But I want to kind of expose three lies that a spirit of entitlement will say to you, okay, and that the spirit of dynamic gratitude will counter with, the truths that they'll counter with. So, number one. Well, let me refer to the book of 2 Kings. So I'm not gonna read the whole story, but I kind of used this story when I preached this last time, and it's the story of Naaman. And you guys remember Naaman the leper, right? He was in a situation where he had no hope, Right? His body was littered with leprosy. It's a skin disease. We spent years trying to figure out what it is. But one thing that really did stick out to me, and this was something that Pastor Robert Morris, I think, was preaching at Gateway, was that leprosy not only affects the skin and you start to see lesions and stuff, but it also affects the nervous system. So one thing that a person with leprosy will go through life and slowly be, their nervous system will slowly decline to a point where they can't feel anything. So they're walking around totally numb to any external sensations. That's why they can't feel their skin like peeling off and stuff like that. So anyway, here's Naaman, body, leper, numb to everything, right? And he has no hope for his situation, but his servants tell him of a prophet that they know in Israel. And he's open to the idea, but Naaman's first reaction is to gather up a bunch of gold, a bunch of silver, and a bunch of wealth, right? In order to give to the prophet, who was Elisha, in order to receive his healing, okay? So the number one, lie number one, that a sense of entitlement will tell us is that our wealth, our gifts, or what we have to offer entitles us to what we want. Does that make sense? So you see, Naaman was operating in a system of economy, okay? And the way the kingdom works is not a capitalist system, right? It's not, I work for this money, this belongs to me, and I'm going to give you this money, and you give me either goods or services. That's not how God works at all. That's how the systems of sacrifices and stuff at the altar used to work in the Old Testament. And when people sacrifice things to other gods like Baal and animals and then eventually children, it was them trying so hard to please this God that they were willing to sacrifice, or they were willing to give up something as precious as a child, right? And sometimes we can go to God thinking, okay, if I give you my wealth, or I give you my time, or I give you my Sunday mornings, I get up at 10 o'clock and come to church, I should expect you to do what I want you to do. I am entitled to living a life free of pain, free of suffering, free of anything that would come against me or my family because I go to church every Sunday morning. And that's not how God works. That's not how the world works, unfortunately. Right? Our wealth, what we bring to the table is awesome. And God has called us, God has commanded us to bring something. But that doesn't entitle us to what he wants to give us. So when entitlement says, what you have to give, what you have entitles you to what you want, the truth is that nothing we have to offer can earn the blessing that God wants to give you. It's a confident belief in God's goodness and a faith that he knows that what's best for me, and knowing that he's already provided everything that I'll ever need. It's knowing that within you is unlocked, sometimes it's locked up, but you are able to unlock a potential and a new way of thinking, a new way of learning, a new way of seeing things in your life where you see lack, God sees opportunity. And we might see pain and we might see suffering, God's going to use as a place and an opportunity for us to learn and for us to grow and for us to be stretched, because he sees the end from the beginning. He sees us going through things and knowing that, and he's already told us in the New Testament that he's working out everything for our good. It's a way of him orchestrating our entire life, knowing that in the end, he wants you to get to where he wants you to get to, but you might have to go through things right now. So Naaman's view was bringing his gifts, his wealth, and trying to earn God's favor. But if we're walking in dynamic gratitude and in the spirit of tangibly expressing how thankful we are, we know that God's already provided everything that we have or everything that we need. So when Naaman gets to Elisha, you guys remember, he's a little upset because Elisha tells him, okay, you can be healed, but you're going to have to go to the Jordan River and you're going to have to dip yourself 7 times. Naaman gets a little upset because he's from a different land. He said the Jordan River is really dirty. Kind of reminds me of people that like try to diss Galveston Beaches. I work in a salon in the Woodlands, so we get a lot of people that travel in from all over the country, and they go to Galveston. And they're like, man, that beach was dirty, and I'll get a little like, hey, man, that's our beach. I know it's dirty, but don't tell me it's dirty, okay? So anyway, Naaman comes into town. He's like, I don't want to go dip in the Jordan River. He gets upset because this guy is a commander in chief, right? This guy is like a mighty man of valor. I mean, he's got all the armor, which is interesting and ironic. It's covering up his leprosy, but he's got all this armor that's covering up his exterior. He's a really strong, tough guy. And he feeds into this entitlement mentality by telling himself, or allowing the spirit of him, entitlement, this second lie here, is that your position or the image you think of yourself or that you hold of yourself entitles you to what you want. You see, like, even in marriage, in relationships, in friendships, this is a hard lesson to learn. Because Naaman became furious because he thought that because of who he was, his name, where he came from, his experience, His title that he owned wherever he came from entitled him to a certain level of respect, right? But the ironic thing is that Naaman forgot who he really was. He might have commanded forces. He might have been this strong dude with a tough exterior. But who was he really under all that armor? He was just a leper. He was so desperate and walking around numb to everything around him and was willing to do whatever it took. And yet at that very moment when Elisha said, I need you to humble yourself. And essentially, I need you to humble yourself, bring yourself down and go wash yourself in the river. At that moment, something rose up in Naaman like, wait a minute, I'm not a leper. I'm a commander. This is beneath me. And so many times, guys, we can forget who we really are. Even though God has washed us clean, we forget what we really came from. That we'll part from him, that without his blood and his sacrifice, without his robe of righteousness that covers us up, our bodies are riddled with leprosy. We're dying. We're numb. We've experienced so much pain. But thank God, right, that he's made us a new creation, that we're not those things anymore, that we're not the caterpillars that walk around mindless, eating everything around us, right? That now we're those butterflies that have transformed and we're a new creation. We can fly and we can see and we can experience new things. But don't forget where we came from, because without him, where would we be, right? So apart from God, we have no place in this world and in his kingdom. Dynamic gratitude helps us to recognize that we have nothing to stand on, and we're thankful for who God is and the things that remain unseen as he works on our behalf. All right? And this last thing that the spirit of entitlement will try and tell you is that, you know, so Naaman went down to the river. He washed himself 7 times. And what happened? He was cleansed, right? Now, is there any special healing properties in the water of the Jordan River? Probably not, right? People go, actually, what's that? Is it the Dead Sea that people go to sort of float? And there might be some weird properties there or something. But there's nothing in the water that cleansed the leprosy. What was it? It was God who healed him, right? But Naaman's obedience is what unlocked his healing, because he was able to humble himself and go to the Jordan River. The spirit of entitlement will tell you that you should always get what you think you deserve. You see, Naaman's first test was that of obedience. The Lord gave him instructions, and it had everything to do with his willingness to exercise his faith and go through that process of humility. A spirit of entitlement will tell you that you are owed what you think you deserve. I want to say this right, because this is something that God sort of like really like it hit home. You know, a lot of us, or a lot of you guys, know our situation at home. Johnny has special needs. And so over the years, since he was, since they told us that he was autistic, it definitely been a roller coaster. There's been ups and downs, especially with his behavior and especially with his sleep. So it's been a little rough, kind of up and down. Like sometimes he won't sleep at all. It seems like he won't go down. Some nights he'll just go right to sleep. He's happy. Everything's good. And I was thinking the other night when it was really rough for him to fall asleep, I was thinking, what am I entitled to? And I, and the Holy Spirit told me something. He said, you know what, Steve? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, I deserve a good night's sleep. I go to work in the morning. I deserve to at least get sleep to do that, right? And the truth is that God wants to give us things that we ultimately don't deserve. You see, because we can walk around thinking, oh man, I really want that. And that's like that's going to be the thing that really, really changes my life. If I just get 8 hours of good sleep, I'm going to be happy. Right? And God, in his wisdom, because he's created us and he knows us from the beginning, he knew us in our mother's wombs, right? God wants to give us what we ultimately don't deserve. He wants to give us in the scripture describes it as a blessing, as heaven opening, and he pours on us a blessing that we can't even contain. He wants to show us something that's going to completely blow our minds. Because we're walking around thinking, if I could just have this thing, then I'll be happy, right? And God says, no, man, I want to give you something way better that's going to completely not only change your life, but that's going to change your mind, your heart, your family's heart, the culture of your home. It's going to change your future and it's going to change your generations to come. All of that stuff. And we don't deserve any of that. And I'm going to finish with this, and this is going to lead into next week. But what are we entitled to as his children? Because we are owed something, right? And it's not based on anything that we've done, but what are we entitled to as his children? Now there are some things, and this is just three things here, because the scripture says that we are co-heirs with Christ. So that means that we have an inheritance coming our way. But it's not that we're entitled to it. It's not that we've worked for it. It's not that because of our position or because of what we have, it belongs to us. It's because God has bestowed it upon us. Because God in his goodness is willing to give us something. And what is that? First is his presence. In the form of the Holy Spirit and the fruit and all of that lives within us, it's himself living in your home. And if we go home and even in the midst of the arguing and even in the midst of the yelling or all of those rough times that we can, God's still in the midst. His presence is still there. How awesome is that? That he says that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Even if we totally dismiss seeking out his kingdom on a daily basis. He said he's not going to leave us or forsake us. His presence is something that we are entitled to because of his inheritance. So his presence, his peace. And we talked about that before, that the shalom of God is the spirit of peace is something it's not weak. It's very strong. It's a violent peace that pushes out something else. And his peace invades our home. It'll invade this church and this community if we believe that it will. It's speaking order into the chaos of our life. And the last thing we are entitled to because we're his children is his power. It's his authority. It's his authority over sin. It's his authority over the devil. It's his authority over sickness and disease and anything, any fiery dart of the enemy that would come your way. That's what we're entitled to. His presence, his peace, his power. And those things are what's going to transform our life. It's those things that as we walk in the spirit of dynamic gratitude, tangibly expressing what we're thankful for and not looking at what we think we don't have or what we think we deserve, not worrying about all of that, or looking at somebody else and thinking, why do they have that or whatever? It's, man, I'm going to walk around knowing that I'm operating in His authority because I'm experiencing His presence and He's giving me His peace on a daily basis. Amen. In the book of Luke, in chapter 22 and verse 19, the verse that sort of describes the Last Supper. I'm just going to, just the little part right there. And this is Jesus. It says, and He took bread, He gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them. And we're going to talk about, this is just a beautiful display of what really giving thanks is. Because, and I'll let the cat out of the bag a little bit, giving thanks is really giving a blessing. So what Jesus did by breaking the bread and giving thanks, He gave a blessing to the people around Him, and He was figuratively but literally giving a piece of Himself to His disciples. And so by you giving thanks and showing gratitude for the things you have, for the things you don't have, and the things that you have never experienced but you know God has for you, you're being a blessing to God. You're being a blessing to the people around you. And that's awesome, man. That is awesome. So let's just bow our heads. Father, we know that, man, you love us. You love us in ways that we can't even imagine. I don't even understand why sometimes. But I know it's because of your Son. I know it's because of the sacrifice that He gave for me on a cross 2,000 years ago. And, you know, some people look at that story like it's just an old and should be forgotten. And it's just, you know, outdated or antiquated. But I can't help. I can't deny the experience that I've had with you, the experience that I've had of your of you breaking through, the experiences that I've had, Lord, and you showing me your love and how much I mean to you. It's just awesome. So, Father, this week as we go through our routines. We know that walking out in dynamic gratitude is going to help us cure or inoculate or totally get rid of this spirit of entitlement where I think you're holding out on me. I think people are holding out on me, and I can look at all the blessings that you've given me and everything that I know you're working out in the spirit, and I can just be grateful. I don't have to waste energy. I don't have to waste my thoughts anymore on those things, but I can just fully focus on you and what you have for me for our families and our homes, for this community, Lord. We just thank you. We want to give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Lord, you deserve it all. You just deserve it all. Father, you are so worthy. Lord, we just lift you up right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus. Thank you. All right.